Welcome to Attitude Adjustment. We're here on EAA Radio, and we've got one of my best friends here, in addition, of course, to Amy Lavoda. It's Matt Thurber from Aviation International News, which we just call AIN these days. And Matt, welcome.
Good morning, Rob. Good morning, Amy.
It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin. So it's Air Venture 2015, and we want to know what you've seen that you love, because every year we bring you in. You're a tech guy, you fly drones, you take photos, and you are a biz av guy as well. I know that. What's new and exciting out there?
I always like to look at the new developments in avionics, because Oshkosh is where a lot of innovation goes on, and there's people just doing things here that the rest of the industry comes here to see what they're doing. This year seems to be the year of the head-up display for some reason. I don't know why, but we have at least two head-up display companies that are trying to break the mold of the $500,000 business jet head-up display and build something for general aviation that costs maybe about a 20th of the typical
price.
Wow.
Well, let's define a head-up display for our listeners out there, because we know what a HUD, H-U-D, is, but what does a HUD do for you? I mean,
well, the idea is to let you look outside the windshield head up, in other words, instead of head down at your instruments.
Okay.
But still have full access to all the flight information that you need to fly safely. And there have been studies that have shown that being able to look out while accessing the flight information adds a lot of safety.
Excellent.
And it's not a problem if you have glasses? It compensates for that?
Absolutely. The It's strange at first when you first look at a head-up display, because your eyes seem like they're trying to focus on two places at once, but it soon becomes comfortable and you find that you're focused on the distance looking outside, but the flight information is right there in front of your face. It's actually very comfortable and you get used to it after a while.
So it's synthetic vision without the synthetic part.
Well, that's sort of one. Yeah, that's actually not a bad way to put it. Although some head-up display manufacturers like Rockwell Collins is putting synthetic vision on the head-up display.
Ooh.
Combining it with enhanced vision, which is infrared.
Okay.
So you get a very clear picture of what's going on outside.
Okay. Well, now I know about infrared because infrared is, if you can get a little FLIR camera and get into the right place, even my GRT avionics box can show me infrared. It'll show me a picture and superimpose some of the flight information on it. But that's not a head-up display. That is, however, looking through a cloud, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's some fairly inexpensive infrared cameras that you could use.
If you have the right airplane to do that, that's kind of tricky on a certified airplane.
Well, yes, on a certified airplane, you have to pretty much pay the big bucks for the real thing.
Yeah, but my RV-10.
You could do whatever you want. So that's what's great about the experimental aviation market.
So imagine going into a place at night where you don't know what the ground is like. I mean, that would be a perfect option.
Or Aspen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, then you can see the mountains.
Next time you take your RV-10 into Aspen.
But I do have to point out, these low-cost HUDs basically are presenting flight information like airspeed, altitude, attitude, but
they're not Rockwell Collins, is what you're saying. Okay.
From what I've seen, they're not doing things like putting infrared on there or synthetic vision. That's not to say they couldn't do that someday at a reasonable cost.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it's just your basic flight information.
So you say you've seen two of them. You're saying it's 1/20th in terms of cost. Are these Kickstarter? Are these?
No, I haven't seen any.
I mean,
yeah, I haven't seen anybody trying to raise that money that way.
Okay.
They're pretty much self-developed. The two that are here are the Skyrider and the MyGo Flight, and both of them are showing off their products in their booths here at the show.
Okay.
Now, excellent. Do you think that they're doing this because people have demanded it, or do you think that they're creating a market with this new technology?
Yeah, I think it's more that they're creating a market, but it's based on their beliefs that this technology is adding so much safety in the higher end of the market. Why not have it for the lower end of the market?
And I've seen, in different years, I've seen different renditions of this. One year I saw somebody trying to project the flight information onto the backside of the prop. So the prop made
that.
A fan, you
right.
know, the prop arc in flight, and they were projecting. But I didn't see that go anywhere.
Yeah,
it was
I have
interesting,
a dim,
though.
Dim recollection of that one, and yeah, I haven't seen anything.
Your recollections will get dimmer as you get older, trust me. They will. But now, one thing, now, what about angle of attack? Because, you know, we've just gotten this new push from FAA to institute or to implement angle of attack wherever we can. Do you think that's going to be something that's going to eventually make its way into these low-cost HUDs?
I think so. I don't think it's hard to add it to it. And angle of attack information is hugely beneficial, but there's kind of a disconnect in this industry, and that is the instructors who are teaching people to fly need to really understand angle of attack and explain it to their students and not just ignore that fancy new gauge in the cockpit.
Well, I don't think the instructors are being taught how to use it is a big part of this problem, because I haven't seen any FAA literature directed at the flight instructors. I haven't seen a PTS change yet that says anything about angle of attack. Have you?
No, absolutely not. And that's a good point, because one assumes that the equipment in the airplane will get taught to whoever's flying it. But I've seen over and over again in checkout after checkout, the instructor doesn't tell me, here's how the autopilot works, or here's how this new radio works. They just assume you're going to figure it out for yourself somehow.
Well, I hope that they're teaching their students more thoroughly, because in my day, my student had to show the examiner anything the examiner wanted in that airplane. So whatever airplane we chose for the check ride, they had to be able to operate competently every piece of equipment in there. So that would be a real red flag, getting a nicely equipped airplane and the person on their check ride didn't know how to use a piece of equipment in it.
Absolutely. Well, certainly on the check ride side. I just checked a guy out in an Archer last weekend, and he came from a steam gauge airplane, and it was interesting, because he was just trying to learn the transition from a 172 to an Archer, and you know, the landing pictures all different, and every time we turn the primary flight display on and the it just boggled his mind. And I said, finally, let's just fly the airplane for a while. And it took a couple hours of just, oh, now I know how to fly. Then he could focus on the electronics. But we don't want to overwhelm people either, and that's a toughie. Of course, by the time they get to a check ride, it's a whole different story. But just starting out, it's a question.
I think that's a great point. People still need to learn the basics. And when it comes to angle of attack, I think it's not just showing them the gauge and how it works, but helping them understand the fundamental of what angle of attack is, the difference between the relative wind and the chord line.
It's always been this invisible thing that
Absolutely.
We've talked about as more of a theory. And now it's an instrument. It can show you. There's a red, there's a yellow, there's a green. I mean, it's so cool in so many ways, and yet what you're saying, I think it's absolutely true. We're not communicating that.
Absolutely, and it's our job as instructors to do that.
That's true, and I think it is important to mention that the technology is cool, but you still have to understand what it means, what the attitude looks like out the window that tells you your airplane's about to stop flying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So it'll be fun to see what kind of software, hardware solutions there are out there, because there's both.
Oh,
some of
absolutely.
These are software solutions for AOA, and they work a little differently.
That's right.
Certainly on the calibration side.
Yep. There's the interesting new one, just certified, as a matter of fact, is the Aspen software-derived angle of attack, which works on the Aspen Evolution flight displays. And this has no external equipment, so it's basically, if you own an Aspen display, you can upgrade it with angle of attack. And this is a real boon because it means you don't have to cut into the airplane or install anything. And you do the software upgrade, calibrate it, off you go.
And it's just basing what it does on the pitch of the attitude indicator then, or?
It's using the accelerometers and other sensors built
into the Aspen
display.
Now you're
really
getting way too complicated for me.
Well,
so.
These are already in the AHARs that are attached to the unit, and mine works exactly the same way. And I can tell you, to calibrate it, we went up, and just like we calibrated the getting the pitch right on the line and all the other things, we calibrated the AOA and really put it through different positions and got it to where it looked right and felt right.
So do you feel safer flying with it?
I know it's there. I know when I need to do certain things. In fact, I listened to a pilot last night describe his landing, and he had to slow it way up coming in here to make the orange dot because the guy in front of him kind of did one of these, oops, there's the runway, I'll turn back to it, long kind of turns. So he slowed up, and he started watching his AOA very carefully, and he was able, he said he was still in the turn, but he touched down 1, 2, 3 on the orange dot at the absolute edge between the yellow and the red on the AOA, and the machine was still flying. And he was able to not have to go around, and he used that AOA
right
during that.
That's
to
the point.
Make that happen.
He was able to fly still with plenty of safety,
yes.
But if he was doing that without the angle of attack, he would have had to fly with a much bigger margin of error just using his airspeed indicator, and he wouldn't have been able to put the airplane where he wanted to without more risk.
That's exactly right. And that's what we need to teach people how to do.
Absolutely.
This guy spent a lot of time at NASA. He knows what he's doing. But there are a lot of us out there that need to see what that capability is.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
You told me to look at you today.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just, it's interesting. We have three instructors in the room, so this is a good discussion.
Actually, it is. I'm sorry to have to wrap it up, but we're kind of starting to get ready for our next person. So
And Matt has to go.
So Matt, where can people read your stuff?
Please go to www.ainonline.com and you can get free access to all of our articles, and just search on your favorite author and we're all there.
Excellent.
Happy to have you join us.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much,
it's
Matt.
It's been fun,
Gerber.
Matt. Thanks
it
for coming by.
It has been delightful to see you here. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you.